I was listening to music much like this the other night on the patio, listening to the rain hit the patio roof, when a bolt of lightning hit the telephone pole across the street.
Boom.
And I went from sipping a nice glass of wine, relaxing to some good music, to having three dogs clawing at my face.
I bet. Yeah, that's something.
That's the closest I've ever been to an actual lightning strike.
We thought we got hit. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, when that happens?
Oh, man. We're here with the director of the Arizona Registrar of Contractors. Let me just give you a few statistics from the agency. Over 43,000 active licenses. Okay? So there are some people that would assume that results in 17 million complaints. 43,000 plus licenses, license complaints, 2,000. Talk about what the licensing does for vetting a lot of the guys out there in business.
Okay,
just
so
the history of the agency. Yeah, it was kind of a self-protective device, is what got set up.
Yeah. When I was born, I was very small. That kind of thing, right? So the Arizona State Legislature enacted legislation to create the Register of Contractors in 1931. So I won't go any further than that. If I want to be a contractor in the state of Arizona and do construction work, then the statutes say I must be licensed. Now, there's a variety of different licenses. You know, if I want to start an electrician's company, I need to have an electrical license. I need to have a plumbing license. If I want to be a general contractor, I need a general contractor's license. And there's different requirements. You know, a general contractor can't self-perform their electrical or their plumbing. They have to subcontract to another properly licensed company. Their employees need to be W-2s and a variety of different things. If any of the consumers ever have any specific questions, I encourage them to call our office. And I know that Jennifer has our number.
Absolutely.
Say I want to be a general contractor. Again, some of the general rules are I need to have a certain amount of experience.
And y'all state the years of experience,
right, correct,
for each license.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then I need
And that has to be verified.
Well, yeah, it's a verification process that includes some attestations and things like that. You have to pass an exam. For instance, if you attest to a certain thing and it's found out later that that's not true, then your license can be clawed back.
Okay.
One of the interesting things, we got about 44,000 licensed contractors in Arizona. In Arizona, we license businesses, so that somebody goes, well, that's not sound like a whole lot for a whole state, but these are businesses, and they've got employees that work for them. And so I think in the industry, I think we're thinking there's maybe 250,000 people involved in the construction industry. So think about it that way. These businesses, ABC, that might be somebody's construction company. I'm sorry. You know, whatever. A certain company might that has a license, they may employ 50 people.
Sure.
They may employ, it just may be themselves. And so what's interesting about this is a lot of people go, well, what about experience and how they score on their tests and all these other things? We've done two double ANOVA studies, analytics, going back as far as we can in data about 50 years, and found that there is absolutely no correlation into if you are 1 year experienced and scored 70%, which is the minimum to pass the test, or you've been in business 25 years and scored 100%, there's no correlation. You're just as likely to get a complaint one way or the
Interesting.
Other. Interesting. So the thing about it is, a lot of it is, you know, communication and whether you follow up. 95%, you know, 94, 93, 95% of contractors never get a complaint. Those that get complaints, some of them are valid, some of them are not. Some of those complaints that they get may be filed by another contractor, might be some sort of dispute on the site. Of those complaints, you know, we get about overall unlicensed entity complaints and complaints against licensed contractors someplace between 6,500 and 7,500 a year. Of those, only, I think it's less than 800 end up going to a hearing. So all of those, many of those are resolved all the way through. And of those, even if they go to a hearing, then they're resolved afterwards. So there's a few things people think. Well, you know, I see this guy's revoked. He's license jumping. He's all those other things. It's usually not the case. It's sometimes it's kind of urban legend, or you hear from a here, something like that. But if a contractor's license has been revoked, that means that there's been some sort of assessment against them. If their license is revoked, they can't get relicensed for at least a year. And if there's been a settlement against them, they can't get relicensed. They can't get relicensed, or they can't be named on a license until all that money or that problem has been resolved. And once that's resolved, then they can start going through the process again. And it doesn't guarantee that they'll get licensed again. So
when I first applied to get my license, I had to learn what a balance sheet was. I mean, the written test asked me questions about estimating. How many blocks does it take to build this length of wall? What's the number one hazard to curing concrete? You know, I had to answer trade questions, but I also had to answer some business acumen questions. And then the agency told me, well, where's your bond? Right. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you got to go get a bond. So then I called a bonding company, and they said, well, we need your balance sheet. I said, well, I don't know what a balance sheet. I said, do I carry one of those in my nail apron? What is that? So we had to prove that I had the capacity to financially perform
to a certain
degree.
So those things, some things have changed there. Government isn't in the business of telling you whether you can open your business. You do have to pass a trade exam and a statute and rules exam, not a business exam.
Okay.
One of the things we found when I was first appointed was that one of the questions in the business exam was, what is the proper way to keep your accounting, accrual or cash? So that's up to you.
Yeah,
that's
right.
My brother and I kept cash. I mean, if you keep accrual, you got a different IRS reporting things. You do one way or the other. But if I'd answered cash, that would have been wrong. And it's not wrong. It's right.
Interesting.
So the government. I'll speak for myself. It's not our business to tell you how to run your business when it comes to how you account and things like that.
Do I still have to get a bond?
It's a licensing bond is required. Okay. It's not a completion bond. It's a licensing bond. So if you got a $2 million project and you think the ROC bond is going to cover that, it's not.
It's not.
As people in the business, you may want to get some sort of other kind of bonding thing. Whether you talk to a bond company on what you need. One thing that commonly that we talk about in the industry, we hear in the industry, is licensed, bonded, and insured. It's not required that a contractor have insurance to be licensed in the state of Arizona. That's entirely up to the licensed contractor. I would suggest that most businesses that are viable have some sort of insurance.
So, and as that, I thought. No, I mean, I pulled my license a long time ago.
Right.
I thought I had to deliver a certificate of insurance.
You had to workers' comp. Workers'
comp.
Yeah,
I had to have workers' comp.
That was that. So it wasn't liability insurance.
Oh.
The workers' comp is another thing. As somebody contracting with a licensed contractor, you can ask for really anything that you want. You know, if the contractor wants to do that, if he's willing to give you some, and you may ask for something that's completely out of line, the contractor may say no, but that's a business agreement, you know, or the contractor may want something from you and you say no. You know, the contractor says this is going to cost $100,000 and you say, I'm only willing to spend $50,000. It sounds like to me like there's not an agreement.
Right.
But these are business arrangements that the customers and contractors make together. It's not some sort of arrangement or business thing that a contractor has to do what you say because that's what you want to do it before the contract signed, right? You know, once you get the contract signed, then it's an agreement that you've made and you move forward with that.
Now, in my travels, the one thing that y'all do here in Arizona with licensed contractors that isn't a national policy. It's very unique. At one point, I think we were the only ones that did it. We licensed contractors have to contribute annually to a recovery fund,
right,
to help give homeowners who have been mistreated by a licensed contractor some avenue of relief. But that's only if you're dealing with a duly licensed contractor.
Right. And that's a recovery fund is for residential, not commercial. So if you want to touch a little bit on that, I can do that. Sometimes I ramble on a little bit too
well,
far.
Well, let me ask you this question. So
Jennifer gets this one a lot.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Well, last time we talked about the registrar, I had a contractor from Tucson that calls often, and he likes to listen to the show, and he always has some good tips and points. And he said, you know, homeowners need to know for sure that they can file against an unlicensed contractor,
yes,
with the registrar. So you were kind of explaining to me, Jeff, that's pretty defined on how that works. We just kind of explain that?
Yes. Firstly, we don't call them contractors, unlicensed. They're unlicensed entities.
Okay.
In the state of Arizona, to be a contractor, a construction contractor, you need to be licensed. If you're not licensed, you're not a contractor. That I know that sounds kind of interesting, but you'll hear us when you're talking to the agency people, you hear a lot of time unlicensed entities. So say you get into a business agreement with somebody that's not properly licensed. They tell you you're licensed. They give you a license number, or they say, I'm working under my friend Bobby's license. All of those things, what they tell you and who they say, it doesn't, that's not what matters when it comes to, you know, proving a point necessarily. I always encourage you to make sure that whoever you do business with, you ask the registrar, are these people licensed? So I'm going to make a point also. Typically what happens is these guys will come in, some person will come in. I'm not saying it's guys because it's men, women. They come in and they go, look, I'm working under this person's license here. Just write the check to me personally, and then we'll go there. If someone asks you to write them a check personally, run.
Oof.
That's never write a check personally. Only write the check to the person's name on your invoice and on your contract, not the person's name, the business's name. But if you run to a situation where you have an unlicensed entity, file a complaint with the registrar. You can do that electronically online through our portal, or you can print those forms off and fill them out and send them in. Please do that always, and then we'll proceed that way. There's no recovery fund available if you have hired an unlicensed contractor.
Could you legally have a little fun with somebody like that? Let's say I was a prankster and I ordered a set of checks to an account that doesn't exist. Be like, oh yeah, here's $100,000. I'll see you tomorrow. Hand it to him.
Are you asking me for legal advice, Romy?
Take a candid camera to the bank and watch him try.
Are you
cash
a licensed lawyer, Jeff?
So I am not. So I look. There's, you know, people. Here's something. I know I've said this before on the show. Many folks do more due diligence changing their cell phone plan than they do investigating the people doing business that they're going to write a check for $10, $20, $30, $50, $100,000 for. And we see people, look, it's not always some rube that gets pulled into this like me. It is, there's, this happens with doctors, lawyers, business people, all sorts of people, all levels of experience get pulled into this, sometimes intentionally because they're hoping to get a better deal.
Right.
I hired an unlicensed guy. Here's what's going to happen. I hired an unlicensed guy because I knew I was going to get a better deal. When you go to court going, well, I lost $30,000, the judge is going to go, you just told me you hired this guy. You knew what it was. You're not going to get that. So keep in mind that it's your money. You can handle it the way you want, but always file a complaint with the registrar on unlicensed entity or a licensed contract if you had a problem.